Welcome to Capital Conversations by the Venture Asset Management Initiative, produced by IMD, your go-to podcast to understand the dynamics in venture capital. In this new episode of Capital Conversations, we explore together with Bertrand Mueller how pension funds and venture capital can navigate their marriage. Bertrand Mueller is a founding partner at DAA Capital, a Geneva-based VC that invests in European companies in the early stages of their growth, particularly those who have developed scalable and proven technologies. Bertrand has extensive experience in engineering, technology fund management, and asset management for pension funds. He has managed medium-sized and large-sized pension funds, overseeing both asset allocation and fund security selection. How can pension funds harness their stability and patient capital to support the growth and innovation inherent in venture capital investments, ultimately contributing to long-term wealth creation? With trillions in assets worldwide, pension funds play a dual role, acting as both asset and liability managers, influencing their exposure to venture capital. In this first part, we uncover the strategies and dynamics behind this often overlooked relationship, and learn how pension funds shape their engagement with venture capital by providing stable long-term capital, adjusting risk profiles, and seeking diversification within the venture capital landscape.
In fact, pension funds have a central role in investment given their sheer size. Worldwide, their assets are estimated to be around 55 trillion, and just in Switzerland alone, they manage approximately 1.2 trillion Swiss francs. So the role of pension funds is twofold. They act as both asset and liability managers. The primary obligation of pension funds is to pay future retirement benefits for their affiliates. To ensure they will be able to do so, they must invest and manage assets to generate the required returns. Thus, a pension fund must assess its long-term liabilities and implement the adequate investment strategies to match these liabilities. This naturally has an influence on the asset allocation and exposure to illiquid assets. The role of managing liabilities is crucial and depends on several factors, the most important one being the composition of the workforce, which is insured. So typically, if a sizable portion of the workforce is set to retire in the near future, investment in illiquid assets might prove inappropriate. So, first and foremost, pension funds can provide long-term and stable capital. In principle, they should have the discipline to invest in an evergreen way. A good practice is to establish a commitment plan over the mid to long term, notably by favoring the reinvestment of proceeds of VC and avoiding taking profits whenever possible. Some pension funds may be open to co-investing alongside their venture capital partners, providing additional capital for specific investment opportunities. This collaboration can enhance the VC fund manager's ability to participate in larger deals and diversify its investment portfolio. Some pension funds have internal investment teams, which can bring insights and network, as well as knowledge of specific industries, notably those where the company running the pension fund is active. And finally, pension funds are supposed to be professional investors who can assess the risk of an asset class and accept this level of risk along the way. Firstly, pension funds have to adjust their exposure to venture capital based on their risk profile, as it is the case for any asset class in which a pension fund invests. This exposure will naturally be substantially smaller to VC than for traditional asset classes, namely bonds and stocks, as the risk is higher. It is interesting to note that over a long period, a multi-decade, let's say, the asset class is quite decorrelated from traditional stock bond markets. Secondly, diversification within the pocket allocated to VC reduces the risk. Investing in several VC funds brings adequate diversification since risks in this asset class are often idiosyncratic. Interestingly, stock markets are somewhat less diversified, with the majority of the performance concentrated in a few tech stocks. The selection process of investment vehicles must be sound and comprehensive, ideally focusing on managers who have a proven track record across several cycles. In that respect, due diligence must be thorough.
As pension funds step into venture capital, they need a diverse skill set, from assessing funds and startups to understanding industry trends and forging deal flow networks. Due diligence goes beyond traditional metrics, considering disruptive tech and market dynamics. Expert legal counsel is crucial to navigating VC's unique regulatory landscape.
So when venturing into the VC space, pension funds need to rely on several key resources. Depending on the form of the investment, fund of funds, LP investment or direct investment, they will need professionals with specific knowledge on how to assess funds, including investment strategy, investment process, portfolio construction, track record, risk profile, fees, and team. And direct investment, including startup evaluation, market, team, IP, etc. They must understand the industry trends, which are rapidly evolving. Their conviction must be high, as once an investment is made, it will be difficult to change their mind, contrary to traditional asset classes where liquidity allows for quick exit if the investment proves underperforming. These professionals must have a network of venture capitalists and, if applicable, build sourcing capabilities to gain access to quality deal flow, for instance, through relationships with incubators or accelerators. This network can provide valuable insight and opportunities. Unlike public markets, information is not public and is more difficult to assess. Obtaining the right access to information is therefore key. Conducting due diligence in VC often involves a different set of criteria compared to traditional asset classes. Pension funds need to extend their due diligence processes to evaluate additional factors such as the potential for disruptive technologies, market dynamic, and the nature of the returns, typically the J-curve. Of equal importance are the resources to evaluate the risk of the asset class, and developing a solid and appropriate framework is key. It has to take into account market volatility and potential liquidity challenges. Constructing and managing a venture capital portfolio, whether through LPs or direct investments, requires a different approach than traditional assets. It includes factors such as portfolio diversification, stage preferences, early, growth, late, sectors, and geographies. Portfolio monitoring is more intensive than traditional asset class, as there are more idiosyncratic factors involved. The legal and regulatory landscape of VC requires specific resources that are not commonly used for traditional asset classes. These legal counsels are even more important with direct investment, which require knowledge of securities law, IP regulation, tax laws, regulatory compliance, among others. To conclude, there are many cultural differences between traditional asset management and VC, and underestimating them could lead to significant challenges.
As pension funds delve into venture capital, organizational changes are essential, including recruiting professionals with VC expertise, maintaining knowledge of the startup ecosystem, and aligning compensation with long-term success. Dynamic asset allocation takes a back seat as VC allocations remain relatively static. Technology and data analytics investments are vital for informed decision-making, while risk management frameworks need to evolve to address the unique characteristics of VC investments. This represents a significant mindset shift, particularly in compensation structures, for pension funds accustomed to traditional asset management.
The organizational changes primarily revolve around recruiting professionals with experience in VC and the necessary profile to select funds or direct investments. These professionals need to clearly understand the startup ecosystem and its specificities. This knowledge must be maintained over time through continuous training. The dynamic asset allocation usually associated with traditional asset classes will have less influence on the VC team, as the allocation to this pocket will be more static given the liquidity nature of the asset class. The team responsible for VC investment should remain stable given the extended investment horizon. Unlike for other asset classes, compensation should be aligned with the long-term nature of VC investment and should include performance-based incentives, participation in the carry typically. It may be challenging to attract VC specialists with traditional compensation structures that do not offer an outsized upside in case of success. This represents an important mindset change for some pension funds that primarily align compensation structures with management fee flows. Additionally, investing in technology and data analytics capabilities is crucial to enhance decision-making and portfolio monitoring. Traditional systems are not designed to handle the data on VC funds and direct investments. And finally, an appropriate risk management framework for VC investment must be implemented. Traditional risk frameworks are not suitable to identify, assess, and manage the unique risks associated with VC investments. Usually, large funds already have a dedicated group for private assets. Adding VC capabilities is an evolutionary step for them rather than a revolution, as they are accustomed to a long-term horizon and the specific associated risks. More specific to VC will be the J-curve characteristic of returns, the even more illiquid nature of the asset class, and the heightened idiosyncratic risks.
In determining the most suitable approach for pension funds to deploy capital in venture capital, various factors come into play, such as size, risk tolerance, and sophistication. While larger pension funds may opt for direct investments or construct their own LP portfolios for flexibility and alignment of interests, smaller funds often find fund or fund strategies more appropriate, offering diversification and reduced administrative burden. However, challenges persist, particularly for smaller funds lacking familiarity with VC and facing reluctance from consultants. Ultimately, the choice depends on the fund's resources, objectives, and willingness to navigate the complexities of venture capital investments.
So essentially, the most suitable approach for a pension fund to deploy capital in VC depends on various factors: size, its risk tolerance and sophistication, including resources and expertise. Typically, the larger the pension fund is, the more sophisticated it is. For small pension funds, investing directly in VC funds would entail a very limited number of investments, given the size of the tickets they can afford, resulting in an inappropriate level of risk. The most suitable approach might be to invest in a fund of fund strategy, which offers diversification without requiring deep knowledge of venture capital. These fund of funds have relationships with top managers and access to capacity, reducing the administrative burden for the pension fund. In some countries, like Switzerland, smaller funds often rely on the advice of consultants, most of whom lack familiarity with VC and are unwilling to take the risk of promoting an asset class that holds no weight in common pension funds benchmarks. Larger pension funds, on the other hand, can rely on resources to construct their own portfolio of limited partners investment, which, compared to fund of funds, offers more flexibility to tailor investments to their specific objectives, more transparency, potential cost savings by removing one layer of fees, and more alignment of interest, meaning influence over the investment decisions and strategies of the VC fund managers. Very large funds can afford to invest directly, as they can build the necessary team to evaluate and manage individual investments. For such funds, say $5 billion typically, even a small allocation results in a sizable amount to invest. For instance, 2% of $5 billion is $100 million. By investing directly, they can potentially capture higher returns compared to investing in VC funds as limited partners. Additionally, direct investment offers pension funds more control over the investment decisions and may reduce management fees compared to investing in VC funds.
Investing in venture capital demands specific expertise distinct from traditional asset classes with high risk, long investment horizons, and limited public information. Mitigating these risks requires experienced professionals, comprehensive due diligence, and alignment of interests with VC managers. Diversification plays a crucial role in risk management, with adjustments needed to adapt to evolving market conditions given the illiquid nature of VC investments.
So the obvious pitfall is investing without having the right expertise and competence to understand the VC ecosystem. Investing in VC requires extensive and specific expertise, which differs from that needed from traditional asset classes. The high-risk nature of this asset class, the long investment horizon, the lack of public information compared to traditional asset classes, and the regulatory framework are some of the specificities of venture capital. To mitigate the risk associated with this investment, the pension fund must firstly rely on experienced professionals, either internal employees, if the size justifies it, or professional external asset managers. It must objectively assess the ability to invest in fund of funds, funds, or direct investments. This requires a solid investment process and the ability to conduct comprehensive due diligence, and it should also ensure that interests are aligned with VC fund managers, notably in terms of fee structures and governance practices. Diversification is a key factor in risk mitigation, and the right level of diversification must be maintained depending on the sophistication of the pension fund. Simplifying, we could say that the less knowledgeable the investor, the more diversified the portfolio, as in any other asset class. As for changes in VC regimes, pension funds should continuously monitor their VC investments and adjust their strategies to evolving market conditions, considering that VC investments are illiquid by nature and difficult to trade.
In venture capital, absolute returns are often targeted, yet measuring performance can be challenging due to reliance on metrics like IRR or TVPI instead of TWR. While benchmarking is increasingly utilized, it's hindered by valuation inconsistencies, lag, and heterogeneity. Despite these challenges, comparing VC to small cap stocks over the long term can provide insight into its risk-return profile, raising questions about the necessity of illiquid assets if comparable returns can be achieved with liquid investments.
In venture capital, the tendency is to think in terms of absolute returns, typically a 10% return per annum. However, asset managers often fail to provide a proper performance measure, typically time weighting rate of return, so TWR. Instead, they present internal rate of return measures or cumbersome total value to paid in measures, which are not well suited for them. There is a growing inclination toward more benchmarking, but benchmarking of illiquid assets presents several challenges, such as the lack of standardization of pricing and valuation methods, the lag in valuation, the difficulty in replicating a benchmark, the heterogeneity of the asset class, and limited data availability. So, although far from perfect, benchmarking may be helpful. Over a long period, though, the VC asset class should be compared to equities and specifically to small cap stocks. The question arises, why take on more risk with illiquid assets if liquid assets offer the same return?
As we wrap up our exploration of the intricate relationship between pension funds and venture capital, it's evident that venturing into this asset class requires a nuanced understanding of its unique dynamic.